This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise above and be in control with today's business headlines, driven by Volvo Cars.
It's coming up to 10 minutes till the top of the hour. This is the Morning Run. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Tan Chung Han. With me, Joyce Goh. We are going to look at some of the top business stories that, or top stories that could affect the business community here in Malaysia. Let's go into the latest study by Kazana Research Institute. And now, they have made some pretty stunning revelations in their latest survey. It's called School to Work Transition of Young Malaysians. So apparently there's this myth out there, as KRI describes it. There's a myth that, you know, young fresh graduates, they are asking, or they have lofty expectations for their salaries. And this survey attempts to dispel that.
Yeah, so one of the findings is that many young people, those especially in part-time jobs, are willing to work below their reservation wage just to land a job. So what's a reservation wage? That is the wage below which youths would refuse a job offer. Mm. So basically, their expected wages.
Yeah. Right, and so you've got the mean monthly income of about 1,800 ringgit. Okay, that's a mean monthly income. But then the reservation wage, as you described, Joyce, is about 1,700 ringgit. So in other words, these young job seekers appear to be willing to work for less than 1,700 ringgit on average. And that's about 40% lower compared to the national mean monthly wage.
Yeah, and findings in the School to Work survey indicates a structural a weak labour market due to structure where youths in unskilled and low-skilled jobs are over-educated, meaning they're forced to dumb down.
Right. So again, this structural mismatch between the supply and the demand when it comes to the labour force. But I think there's plenty of nuances as well when it comes to, you know, what actually determines those wages, right? It could depend on locality. It could depend on attitude. It could depend on the job description, right? All kinds of factors, right? Now, earlier this morning, we asked you guys, the employers out there in Malaysia, for your feedback, you know, whether or not your personal experience in hiring Malaysians are in line with what KRI has revealed. And we've gotten several messages from hiring managers and the like. And we will keep you anonymous, but we've got some comments there, right, Joyce?
Well, yeah, someone said that, you know, we try not to hire local grads with very high academic scores if they've proven to be quite poor team players and also misguided in their expectations.
Wow. Mm. So again, there's the softer elements of it, right? You know, so it's not just the hard, your academic, formal academic qualifications, but it's also attitude that plays a part as well. There are other messages as well from a hiring manager who says that your double degree does not mean anything to me. Attitude is everything. If you can't even differentiate batch and badge and bother and border, then you don't even deserve a 1,800 ringgit starting pay. So, yeah, quite a bit of attitude also coming from that hiring manager, right?
Well, there's someone else also asked, as an employer, he's an employer or she's an employer, saying we're willing to pay reasonable wage to fresh grads with the right attitude and skill sets. Our problem is that they are very rare nowadays. They're rare nowadays. Again, attitude, and this one says skill sets as well.
Right. So, you know, this is contrary, the KRI study, right, is contrary to the narrative that we've been hearing for in recent years, right, Joyce? You know, I recall this Job Street Malaysia survey from a couple of years ago, whereby half of the employers surveyed said that, you know, there's a pure mismatch, you know, in terms of the expectations from fresh grads versus what these employers are willing to pay. The headline grabbing figure was 6,500 ringgit.
6,000.
Yeah, no, someone actually walked in there and said, expect as a fresh grad to get 6,500, right? And so I don't know if that's realistic, but keeping in mind, and now that was actually addressed at the KRI press conference yesterday. Mm-hmm. So that sample size of that survey apparently was quite limited. Where else with KRI's survey, their sample size, if I'm not mistaken, unfortunately I left the report out there on my desk. It's, I think, in the tens of thousands, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. So it's a much broader sample size.
Well, the KRI survey also shows that females remain disadvantaged in the transition from school to work, despite outnumbering and outperforming their male counterparts. Mm. And 85% of young workers with degrees polled said they work in low-skilled jobs. Mm. So it looks like they are overeducated, right?
Right.
Yeah, and also, I guess the report also calls for an urgent review of wage levels by the government, because you know the minimum wage policy, huh, that's coming on stream next month in January, 1,100 ringgit per month. So what you're questioning is that, will this apply to all sectors and workers? Because, you know, Bank Negara estimated that a Kuala Lumpur-based single adult's living wage in 2016 should be about 2,700 ringgit.
Right, 2,700, and even then that was an estimate, right? So how meaningful is that in KL? How meaningful is 1,100 minimum wage, you know, here in Malaysia, even though the plan is to raise it up to 1,005 within a 5-year period, even then, how meaningful is that, right? So I think the conversation is, should employers start talking about a living wage as opposed to just being fixated on that minimum wage? Now, those are micro factors. Then, you know, to move the conversation along, then the question is, well, how do policymakers get involved? You know, how can they bridge this gap, right? And so obviously there's some usual suspects, you know, like, oh, let's look at the education sector, let's reform that, but that's going to take a lot of time, right? And, you know, what about those fresh graduates currently, you know, who are unemployed or working below their reservation wage? You know, how do we remedy this?
Yeah, I wonder what's the, when it comes to starting pay as well, it differs between jobs and sectors that you're in, right? Remember when I started, my first paycheck was 1,600 ringgit.
Oh.
Yeah, this was many years ago.
Not going to reveal how old you are, Joyce. Right. No, so, and again, has that conversation evolved since, you know, given the rising cost of living, you know, with inflation?
You know, I had to live with my brother because I'm from Penang, right? And my brother's here.
Oh, that's
and he was very kind. It was rent-free.
Well, I wish many more Malaysians are as kind to fresh graduates as your brother is. So look, we want to hear from you, okay? Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899. In particular, if you are an employer or if you're in the recruiting business, right? What has your experience been like? You know, we've got what Job Street survey tells us. We've got what KRI is now telling us. We want to know your specific experience. 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio.
We just got another WhatsApp that says that I'm part of a business. I'm and part owner of a business, and attitude and willingness to learn is what we value above all else.
Right, but then how do you quantify that? Right, you know, how do you put it into your matrix
and then say, okay, CV. How do you put that into your CV?
Right, you know, you have good attitude and willingness, and so we'll pay X, you know, 1,000 ringgit more. Like, you know, how does it actually manifest itself?
Do you think it'll come through the interview? I'm not sure. Or whether or not it could be during the confirmation period. Yeah. Where they give you a chance, an opportunity to do the job, and then from there, evaluate whether this person has a good attitude, whether this person's a team player.
Yeah, that's very important, because how many CVs have you seen, right? Oh, yes, I am a team player.
Yeah, they put in all the keywords, right?
I am awesome, right? Hire me, then hire them, and hire Hancho. Not saying anything about our interns. We love you guys. No, you guys are awesome.
They are the best.
Not directing those comments to anyone in particular. So keep those comments coming in via WhatsApp or via Twitter at BFM Radio. Okay, with the little time that we have left, you guys got to know about this. So there's this story about MIDF that's mulling a possible merger with Al Rajhi's local unit. Al Rajhi Bank is a Saudi bank, and looks like this is the latest iteration in this merger in the Islamic banking space here in Malaysia.
So what Bloomberg is saying is that, according sources, say that if this merger happens, this would give MIDF the right to accept deposits.
Right. And this is not new, because I recall when I had on the breakfast grill Maybank Islamic, back then Alliance DBS Research spoke about how there's chatter in the market about maybe MIDF could merge with Maybank Islamic so that MIDF could get that banking license, right? Long story short, I don't think that's on the table now. Possibly it's Al Rajhi Bank from Saudi Arabia, or their local unit. That could be the way for MIDF to start accepting deposits. All right, we're coming up to the 9 a.m. news bulletin, and after that, we'll be looking at the opening numbers on the local bourse. So stay tuned right here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Keeping you on track for peak business performance with the new Volvo XC40, the expression of innovation. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.